Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Good day to you all. It's early. It's early, but hey, we up. We up in here and we doing it. Thank y'all for popping the stream instantly. Hey, that's what we like. That's what we like. Hey, the wrestling world is a buzz. You already know why. One of the biggest PLEs of the year just wrapped along with the scrum. And there's a lot to talk about. We're not going to waste y'all time. So let's get right to it. It's time to talk wrestling like nobody else in the world, which means it is time for the first Black Champ podcast, and I'm still the pick. Again, it's just me and Gunther. That's it. Cam from the port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download Barbershed Digital, the home of First Black Champ, wherever you get your podcasts. Make sure you follow us on Twitter, Instagram, at DFBC Pod. Make sure you follow the First Black Champ group on Facebook. Go ahead and get that merch. And we're going to go ahead and get started. We're not even going to waste your time. Yeah. It was definitely a gang of returns last night.
Yeah, man.
You know, kicking it with, you know, one that we've been expecting for quite some time. And we've been talking about right here on the First Black Champ for a while. Can't wait to see this brother back. R-Truth selling ruffles.
Hey, yes, yes. Look at that.
Selling
from
ruffles.
To chips. From champs to chips. R-Truth.
All right, man. Let me stop bullshitting, even though it was great to see R-Truth back. But nah, man. Let's start with the moment that stole the show.
Yeah, right? Man.
Pretty decent PLE.
Yeah.
You know, not necessarily a lot of matches because it just went quick for some reason.
Yeah.
You know, maybe because of the lack of matches, but the timing of those matches too. But you stayed there, and I know me. I stayed on the screen. And then when I saw the tag, the All Rights Reserved tag, I was like, all right, he ain't coming back.
Mm.
And then he came back. CM Punk is back in the WWE for the first time since, I think, 2014.
Oh, I first time was a full 10.
Nah, it's a 2014. Yeah, well, it's about a full 10, basically. Shit, yeah. Fuck it.
Yeah.
But CM Punk is back in the WWE. When the All Rights Reserved thing came out, and they did the widescreen, all of a sudden that code of personality popped on. A pop like none other happened in the Allstate Arena in Rosemont, Illinois. Not to be confused with Chicago, Illinois.
For sure. Respect.
And nothing but respect. I actually told my man A-Plus and DJ Nails, like, man, maybe I should have just took the drive to Rosemont. Maybe, you know?
Yeah.
It's not a hot skip and a jump from Plainfield.
That's true. Gentlemen. It's not. It's not.
Yep. 2014 Royal Rumble was his last appearance. Then he got fired at his wedding. So, what was your thoughts on CM Punk making, I guess you would say, because it's wrestling, his long-awaited return to the WWE?
Man, you know what? I was, I won't lie, I was a little conflicted. And I'm going to start off by saying this while being super objective to everything. I don't think I'm the CM Punk fan I was 10, 11 years ago. Matter of fact, I know I'm not. I know I am not. However, you can't deny that Chicago really loves, appreciates, and supports CM Punk. When that crowd did something that they hadn't done all night. And you can't deny that. And if anything, if you've ever watched any PLE, and then when you watch the pay-per-views, because we from that era, you know that every event, they want that. They want what they got. And don't get me wrong, Randy Orton went there, but CM Punk went all the way there. CM Punk comes out, he looked 10 years younger than he did in AEW. Man. Look, I don't know what the deal is, but my man, he actually looked like he was 42, 43 last night.
Bruh, when I tell you CM Punk came on that screen, and I was like, yo, he looked like he ain't stressed. What was the difference?
Right.
Whatever rejuvenation shit he went through, wherever he went to Wicker Park to get the fresh face he got,
yeah,
I want that in my life.
Yeah, man.
Because CM Punk came out and that joint looked like a totally different person.
Yeah.
Even in his first look in AEW. Shitting on AEW. I'm just saying, the CM Punk we saw last night,
yeah,
looked like he got a divorce. He looked like he been through 2 years of therapy, and he came up on $5 million.
Minus the $5 million, Bang said he showed up looking like me. Hey, respectfully, always respectfully. But though, seriously, I was CM Punk, well, he was born in the 80s. Like, damn. I was like, okay. I was like, he got the white boy fade, the classic white boy fade. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he got that shit in the South Loop.
Kind of not, yeah.
Yeah, he got that shit in the South Loop over there on, like, Roosevelt. He went there.
Yeah.
Got that shit moved.
Right. And then so, now, and I think now, going back to, I think, an earlier point in the intro, once we get into the interaction with the crowd, I thought all that was real because I was like, yo, man, who the fuck is dude? Like, but he's like, Chicago. I'm like, okay, but to see a punk next to you, like he didn't even know what to say. That's why I think I know that one is real because he didn't even know what to say. Like, if he was just like, CM Punk, and then, like, he's been going crazy, talking about, yeah, Royal Rumble 24. I'm like, okay, all right, bro, you a plan. But he didn't even know what to say. And then he goes to the other side, they wilding out. I think that, along with the rest of the reactions, which I'm sure we'll get to, so I'm going to cruise control this out because we just on the look. I thought CM Punk honestly looked great. I didn't fan out. I didn't pop. I didn't mark out only because I kind of felt bad for Randy Orton. I ain't going front. Kind of felt bad for Randall Keith. So I was kind of like, ugh. But I knew the PLE needed it, so I'm letting it rock.
I marked out. Not even going front. But it's what I had said last week during the show. The PLE needs a major moment. It's the last one of the year. Yeah. They got to end the PLEs off with a bang, no pun intended.
For sure.
I was disappointed that there wasn't a cash-in last night.
Man.
Let me say that. I was totally disappointed that it wasn't a cash-in. And even though we are probably Randall Keith Orton's number one fans on this podcast.
For sure.
And we was expecting him to be the surprise person. Then when they announced it a week early, we was like, all right, cool. But something in me was saying that can't be it. And that's why last week's pod, I was saying, you know, I went through the whole elaborate scheme of a cash-in, you know, where the Street Profits become the tag team champs. Judgment Day is going through some issues. You kind of saw it, too, with Drew and Damian Priest. So you got that right there. And then when Rhea Kat came down, I was like, okay, it's game time. Yeah. You go ahead and do this and end this bitch right now.
Right.
So when it didn't happen and Randy came out, I was like, ah, and even like they teased the Randy Orton thing with Jey Uso, but then Randy was like, man, I was wilding. I used to wild too, so how am I gonna be mad at you? Let's do some shit. When it came off, I felt a little bit empty. Not gonna lie. When that All Rights Reserved sticker came, I was like, all right, this is a good pay-per-view, but I felt like it's missing something.
For sure.
And then Cult of Personality came on.
Yeah.
And no matter how short they had him on the screen, it electrified everything, especially being in Punk's hometown. Now, yeah. To your point, I too have lessened my fandom of CM Punk over this past 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like the holier-than-thou attitude, him being an elitist, so to speak,
yeah.
Or at least he feels like one to me,
mm-hmm.
and even going to AEW and the way things happen there. Because mm-hmm. while all of that stuff is not his fault, it's just too much shit for you to be involved in for somebody like me to be like, yo, I love him. Like, honestly, if CM Punk was not from Chicago, I probably would have said fuck CM Punk a long time ago. But Chicago supports Chicago, and that's why he gets this. That's but right. It's two things last night that I'm looking forward to. First of all, again, and this is all pause, this is the best CM Punk has looked in quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if he didn't put the just the what's that?
The Just for Men.
Just for Men. Yeah, I don't know if it's because he left out the Just for Men for one night and he got the Sandy Gray and Black. I don't know if it's that or if it's the WWE cameras. Because even Cody Rhodes came back looking a lot better than he did when he was in AEW. So maybe AEW need to do something with the cameras to make them look a little bit different.
Yeah, they got like mirrors or something over there.
Because to be real, WCW, Crockett Promotions, and WWE used to have the same shit.
Yeah.
WCW, NWA, Crockett Promotions, when you used to watch WCW or NWA main event at 8:05, 7:05 Central, it looked old.
Yeah.
Then you look at Superstars, and it's just brightness.
Yeah, it's crisp. Like, it's like, crisp. Oh, wow.
You got to be our age to understand this. Go look at the WWE Network, and you go look at WCW NWA 1989, and then go look at WrestleMania 5. Yeah. Two totally different cameras.
Yeah, check out the Sting intro and the Ultimate Warrior intro.
Right, yeah. That's it.
Like, that's it. And I was like, hey, and for everything considered, Sting's intro should look way hotter than the Warriors intro. And he was running.
Right, he was running. He was running. So, again, the look and everything from WCW and WWE has trained me to look at the camera differently because AEW and WWE got a totally different look. So maybe that's why CM Punk was looking at least 10 to 15 years younger than he has in the last 2 years. All right? Yeah. Maybe that's the case.
Maybe.
But it felt like CM Punk was home.
Yeah.
And here's one thing that I'll say, and there's some things that I'm learning as I get older. This is kind of the reason why I came back from D.C. to Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Home is where the heart is.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes you leave home because of disagreements. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's something else.
Mm-hmm.
And you feel like that you can make things better wherever you go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when CM Punk left, CM Punk went to get his ass whooped in the UFC.
Yeah.
And he stayed away from wrestling. Started doing a couple of things here and there, fell back in love. But he saw AEW as the anti-WWE. And I think that's where CM Punk went wrong.
Yeah,
CM Punk went wrong by treating AEW as the anti-WWE. We can do things differently and all of these things. I said on this pod, when he got here, and I'm going to say it again, sometimes you need the machine.
For sure.
And when you grow up in the machine or be in the machine for quite some time, when you're away from it, it takes time. And I don't think CM Punk gave himself that time. But I also believe that just feel you need the machine.
Yeah.
You need that structure. and you fought against that structure because everything you love was indie. And then you went to it on a bigger scale than AEW, and you realized this ain't what I thought it was supposed to be. The grass was not greener on the other side when you finally got to the plot. Basically, once you got to the land of the other side, you was like, this ain't it. And you tried to implement things in AEW that they wasn't going because they're used to indie on a different scale than what you used to see.
Exactly.
You needed, CM Punk needed what happened last night. And I think when he walked out and he saw the Allstate Arena go bananas, he saw them screens when he walked out, he saw the cage when he walked out, he saw Randy Orton and Seth Rollins and Drew ran before that, we're getting to that, but he saw all of them, and he saw in his eyes mature people that know the business like he know it. And he felt at home. And Triple H said in the scrum, if you ain't changed in 10 years, and I think that moment more than anything else is probably why we are probably going to see a different CM Punk. Because he's where he belongs. And I'm not saying this just because it's WWE. Because if it was the flip side, I would say the same thing. But sometimes you need that machine. Sometimes you need that structure. And sometimes you need to be around people at the age and the time that you're in is best suited for your mental health. And the fact that that man came out there looking like he looked, feeling how he feeling, and reacting the way he reacting, CM Punk at that moment was like, damn, I'm home.
For sure. Hey, and you know what? And not for nothing, even though we've watched Chicago go up when AEW was there, but it didn't go up like that because, I mean, hey, look, there's been so many rumors about, you know, paid audience, filtering the fans, filtering sounds. Like, everybody supposedly does it. I think the most important thing, and I think we touched on this before in a couple of previous shows, I think that CM Punk had a chance to look himself in the mirror at AEW. He had to look at the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and all the other gentlemen and women there that were indie darlings that swore that they were these big superstars and realized that they were a blip on the radar that is sports entertainment and professional wrestling. And he ain't with it. You know what I'm saying? Like, because even though they may not get paid as such, even the UFC is a bigger machine, a bigger animal, a bigger promotion dynamic than AEW is today back then. So CM Punk likes the lights. He likes the camera. He wants the action. And he, I think, really took that for granted. Again, sometimes you can really think, oh, it's me. It's me. It's no different from, you know, a lot of artists that sell 2 million records, then they go independent and they can't get 50,000 off. And it's like, well, fam, you know, that Def Jam engine. Like that Def Jam machine.
You
that
gotta, was behind and now you. Gotta, and you got to get a PR firm to get all of these interviews and stuff for you. Yeah. And you got to pay for your own travel. And you got to do all of these things that the label is basically supporting when you go indie. You doing that shit on your own.
Right. So, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, and no matter how they, you know, pitch it, I still think the only person truly happy with stuff like that is Daniel Bryan. Like, that's it.
Yep.
Bryan Danielson is the only person I'm giving a pass to. He is legit the only person I think I've seen in my entire lifetime of watching wrestling that does not want to be a wrestling star. He just wants to wrestle to say he wrestles, and he's welcome to do that. But everybody else, They want to headline WrestleMania. They want to be the champ. They want the shirts. They want the ice cream bars. They want to do the Ruffles commercials. They want all of that. They want it all. And there's nothing wrong with it. And I hope that this CM Punk return, even though I know we ain't got to this yet, what I want from this CM Punk return is for all of these indie stands, these AEW stands, these people that just don't think logically about wrestling being a career, and these people have to feed their wives and children. I want them to finally understand that, yo, the WWE is feeding a lot of families.
Yeah.
And that is important in the long-term game of life. Not yeah. wrestling, life.
And I'll even go even better, bigger and better. No, just piggybacking on what I said about just the machine. You know, I sometimes you just can't be the OG. Or you can't be the OG there.
Yeah.
And I think CM Punk might have learned that lesson too. Mm-hmm. CM Punk went to AEW trying to be the OG that can mold this shit into yeah. what he wanted to be. Mm-hmm. And he found out that that is not going to be the case here mm-hmm. very quickly. And I think sometimes people our age, mm-hmm. and in this case, it don't matter what race you are too. Because I've seen a lot of black people go places and try to be the OG, and the tone that you use,
yeah.
they ain't trying to hear that shit.
Yeah.
CM Punk found out what a lot of us our age be thinking when it be coming mm-hmm. to young man, old man, OG situations. Mm-hmm. CM Punk tried to go into AEW to be the OG. They wanted him to be the OG. They didn't like the tone of OG voice.
Yeah.
OG was like, yo, I'm going to do this my way. Shit happened. He's yeah. back where he belong.
Yeah.
Everybody can't be a boss. Everybody can't be a manager. Everybody can't be an OG either. That's and right. in this case right here, CM Punk learned, I can't do that. Mm-hmm. I'll go back.
Yeah.
And I'll go back to what I'm used to, destruction, everything. And to kind of segue a bit, this ain't Vince McMahon's WWE no more, ladies and gentlemen. The last time CM Punk was at a WWE event, Vince McMahon told security to get him out. He made his amends with The Miz. He talked the trips, apparently. Mm-hmm. Vince McMahon was like, I don't care.
Right.
Get buddy ass up out of here.
No.
Ladies
and gentlemen. Get that son of a bitch out of my arena.
There you go.
There you go.
Ladies and gentlemen, I know the TKO sale and all of that happened months ago and stuff mm-hmm. and all of that. But I believe that if it was any sign that this is no longer the WWE we know, mm-hmm. it's this one. And here's mm-hmm. why I say that. Some people will point to Bret Hart coming back, and some people will point with Eric Bischoff signing a deal with the mm-hmm. WWE and all of that stuff. And that's cool. But it was something different about this CM Punk Vince McMahon feud. It was something yeah. different.
Yeah.
Especially for Vince McMahon to kick you out the building.
Yeah.
Like Vince McMahon, from what we know, loves the business enough that he'd yeah. be like, all right, stick around, fam, but
yeah.
I'm going to be in my office. Don't come by my shit. Mm-hmm. He kicked CM Punk ass out in his hometown.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon, I truly believe, don't like Phil Brooks.
Oh, no, not at all.
Because he don't like Phil Brooks, he don't like CM Punk. Because CM Punk probably put him through more hell than he felt like he could have or should have. See, yeah. Bret Hart is a generational talent to Vince McMahon.
Mm-hmm.
Eric Bischoff is money. I don't think Vince McMahon saw CM Punk at the level CM Punk saw himself at, which means that he don't feel like this man was worth the headache to begin with.
Absolutely didn't. Listen, I'm all in the details. I'm all about details. Again, I go back to the pipe bomb. I think Vince McMahon wanted to fire him after that episode of Raw because he came out there, in a Stone Cold shirt. And at that time, Stone Cold was the highest generating superstar, I think, ever. And then he went in, CM Punk, that is, and shit on the company, shit on the founder and owner, which the Vince is shit on his dad, and then he shit on his daughter and her husband. I think in our lifetime, that's the only thing that Vince truly took personally and was like, oh, yo, oh, wait, no, he's trying to Eric Bischoff me on my own platform. We're not doing that. We've watched Vince McMahon get accused of coercion, rape, molestation, sexual assault. We've seen him get his face spit in. We know he's got punched in his face. Yeah, I'm like, Hulk Hogan took the stand. Like, we've watched everything. But the one thing that they never did was attack the business, his pops, and his kids. And CM Punk did that. And everybody got their spot. They're like, yo, wait, hold up. No, we're not doing that. And I think that's what happened. I think it's never over for Vince McMahon and Phillip Brooks. Because you're right, Bang. Because let's just go back to when CM Punk won that first Money in the Bank. let's just go back to that moment. Who really picked him to win that match?
Nobody. None of us did. We were shocked to say it when he won it the second year, too. Like, oh.
Yeah. Because just like you said, even though he may feel this way, Phillip Brooks was never Randy Poffo. He was never Bret Hart. He was never Sean Hickenbottom. He's none of those guys. So like, yeah, it's the Tom Brady, Bill Belichick thing with Bret the Hitman Hart, Macho Man Randy Savage, and Shawn Michaels. But it's the Geno Smith, Pete Carroll thing where we're talking about CM Punk.
I mean, Russell Wilson. It's the Wilson.
Oh, well,
no,
okay,
what I'm saying is it's the Russell Wilson because when Russell Wilson left.
Yes, yeah. I'm sorry. Yes, you're right. Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson. I'm sorry. Yes.
Pete Carroll went and got Geno Smith and was like, look, successful.
I
do this again, you know.
So all that to say, like, yo. Even though we hate to use the language like, oh, yo, I made you or something like that, I'm pretty sure Vince McMahon really feels that way. And then when you look at his career beyond the WWE, he's really floundered. He's failed. Look, Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar both left to the UFC. The MMA, I'm sorry, because
But UFC and Bellator. UFC and Bellator.
Yes. But they start kicking ass. Where, like, you know, we watched CM Punk get washed twice, take another break, show up in a ski mask with the Pooh Shiesty on at an indie event, and he shows up at AEW. So literally, he spent the last 10 years trying to figure it out and failed, where everybody else, whether it's music, whether it's MMA, whether it's movies, television, everybody else figures it out because, you know, for the most part, everybody else is a legit star and they use the engine correctly. So, yeah, I totally feel like Vince McMahon is like, no, if I do forever, I gave him his life. He wouldn't even have his wife if it went for me. Like, hey, yo, the Kanye rant that he went on Wiz Khalifa, that's how Vince McMahon feel. That's how he feel. And I don't think nothing's ever going to change that. That's why he fired him on his wedding day. and that's why I think it's just going to be on forever. And the best thing that could have happened to the WWE is Vince McMahon leaving so that CM Punk could have another chance to possibly and potentially prove everybody wrong.
And you got to remember, Fox wanted him back in the company when they was doing the show, when SmackDown first got there and they was doing the show on Fox. Fox approached the WWE like, yo, let's get him, put him on SmackDown. Vince was like, nah, we straight. Yeah. He's not a WWE employee. He's a Fox employee. Y'all continue doing that shit right there.
Yeah.
But he's not. We not doing that shit. You know what I'm saying? We good on that. Uh-huh. I think that this was the first sign of Endeavor and, well, TKO. Well, Endeavor owning uh-huh. the WWE. Because yeah. I think we're going to start to see a lot of things that we wouldn't necessarily see. And we already see it with, like, the advertising and stuff like that. Uh-huh. But then also, there's people that you're going to start to see that have had issues with Vince McMahon. Uh-huh. Like Triple H, or love him, mm-hmm. but they wouldn't come back to that company because of buddy ass.
Yeah.
Vince McMahon is officially buddy ass right now. He ain't there.
Yeah.
So, I'm not going to say this is a guarantee. I'm not even going to say this is a guarantee hope. Mm. But I will not be surprised if we hear the name Sasha Banks back in the WWE. Because this right here is going to be the foolproof sign that mm-hmm. this is a different company.
Yeah.
Vince ain't there. If CM Punk can come back after suing the company, after putting the company in the dirt, after talking shit about Vince McMahon and the whole family, before even getting to AEW.
Right, right. Yeah, be clear.
Be clear. That shit happened before he got the AEW. If he could do this shit and he could come back, mm-hmm. which it believe in Vince's eyes trumps Hulk Hogan, it trumps Bret Hart,
yeah.
it trumps anybody else.
Yeah.
Because Vince McMahon will, hey, return, let's make some money.
Yeah.
He didn't do that with Punk. But you ain't in the seat now, Vince. Mm-hmm. It's Ari Emanuel in the game. And you know what Ari said last night? This is what Ari said last night. As somebody who was born here, mind y'all now, Ari Emanuel was born in Chicago. What did I say, y'all? Chicago, look out for Chicago.
For sure.
You thought Ari Emanuel wasn't going to send that bitch up last night? Oh, we gonna make this special.
Mm-hmm.
Now, rumors and what Triple H said last night, real quick, mm-hmm. before we move on. Triple H said basically all this shit happened very quick.
Yeah.
This is the quotes from the scrum last night. This mm-hmm. came together super quick. There's a lot of speculation. It really didn't come to fruition until everybody started thinking that it was going to happen. Then all of a sudden it was happening. Basically, he was like, yo, we called him this morning. And we talked. It was like, all right, how can we make this work?
Right.
Nobody, they said they moved everybody out of Gorilla.
Mm.
Trips took over the show. CM Punk walked in Gorilla. Nobody technically knew that okay. this was going to happen at yeah. that moment.
That's what
why
like
the all whites reserve thing happened and all that stuff. And now let's get to the reactions.
Yeah, let's do it.
First of all, the fans' reaction, you're going to see a lot of video. They're probably yeah. going to be using that video on Monday yeah. To talk about the return of CM Punk and seeing everybody in Chicago and probably all across the world who's yeah. probably videotaping themselves. It's like,
right.
Like for some people, this is the closest your ass gonna get to some pussy in quite some time. It was
electrifying. Tragedy.
That electrifying. But then it's the wrestlers. Most notably, Seth freaking Rollins. Seth freaking Rollins snapped last night.
Yeah,
he was shooting the return.
Hey, listen. Shout out to Seth Rollins, though. I want to, because, hey, he's from Ohio, but he a Bears fan, so this is what I love.
Iowa, he's from Davenport. He basically from the crib, you know what I'm saying? Sure. That's like a suburb.
What I love about Seth Rollins is this. Seth Rollins spared no expense to let us know, no, I was shooting the whole time. No. It's fucked, dude, for real. Because... Hey, and you know what? I really thought about it because if we go back, what, 11 years. Seth Rollins might even feel that CM Punk kind of fucked up his intro into the WWE, because Survivor Series 2012, the original plan, as we heard rumor and innuendo, was that the Shield was the team for CM Punk. And then all that got like jumbled up and mixed up and whatever. So he may even just be like, yo, fam, you tried to ruin me before I even got here. So I love the fact that Seth Rollins stand on his square. He might laugh in the promo, but he be shooting. And he ain't scared of nobody. I now think that that back thing is just a storyline now. Because the way he got up that cage and it took 3-4 people to hold him back, some that was his size, like, I was like, oh, no, Seth Rollins ain't hurt at all. Like, because he was about to beat Punk ass in Chicago. And I think he can, because again, I watched CM Punk get washed in real life. Sorry. Once I see you get washed a couple times in real life, I just don't think your hands and your knees and your feet work. I just don't think they do. Nah,
but question, do you think, was that real reaction? Was that setting up the money play? Or was it both?
Shoot, it's both. But you know what, though? At the same time, I don't think Seth Rollins is prepared to do business with Phillip Brooks or CM Punk. And that's, I think, the underlying thing in all this, and I'm going to circle back to it. Because one thing about Triple H is this. Triple H is always pro doing business. And he would rather see business get done and business fail than to be like, we're not doing business, and what if? So, and you know, the timing of this, because look, who were the last two Triple H guys? Seth Rollins, Randy Orton. And he pissed them both off at the same time, I believe, last night with the CM Punk thing. So, again, Triple H is not above doing business. But I don't know. I think whatever Seth got with CM Punk is real. And I think that CM Punk got a lot of work to do before we even get Seth Punk. I just believe that.
Okay, I disagree. Okay. And I have to make sure of something. So I looked up Seth Rollins' birthday. Not a person in the horoscopes, fam.
Right.
Except for one little thing, one little twinge. Mm-hmm. His birthday is May 28th.
Hey.
He's a Gemini. It's one thing I know about Geminis. It's fuck you, let's go get this money though. I can hate some people and still go make money with them. Mm. I famously told one of my coworkers, I don't like 90% of the people that I work with. 10% of y'all I like. 10. Shouts out to Janine. I told her, I only like 10% of y'all, and you might be in the 10, but 90% of y'all I don't like. Let's go get this money. Now, I say that to say this. Sean Ross Sapp. Shouts out to Sean Ross Sapp and Frightful. He said this morning, backstage in gorilla position, we're told that Seth Rollins had to be ushered away by Triple H and Michael Cole, and as he was not happy about Punk's appearance. Punk was said to look confused by it. At least the people in the area, it was said to be an awkward scene. Obviously, because of the nature of pro wrestling and what we report on, it could possibly be a work. I don't think it was a work.
No, not at all.
Seth Rollins don't like CM Punk.
Yeah.
Seth Rollins could give a fuck about CM Punk.
Yeah.
But guess who else Seth Rollins could give a fuck about? That was Matt Riddle. Matt Riddle talks shit about his wife. All right?
Yeah.
And here's the thing. I don't give a fuck what CM Punk may have said about Seth Rollins. But if you say anything about your wife or significant other, that's cause for an ass beating. So if CM Punk said fuck Becky Lynch or he fucked Becky Lynch, I understand their reaction. But if CM Punk never said fuck Becky Lynch or have never fucked Becky Lynch, they about to make some big ass money on the road to WrestleMania. WrestleMania 1, WrestleMania 40, Night 1. Mark that shit down, because what you saw last night, CM Punk versus Seth Rollins as the main event of Night 1 at WrestleMania, I don't give a fuck who is involved. Because here's the thing. I truly believe that Seth Rollins don't like nobody. I forgot the two dudes, Mason, Mansoor, and Massey. They said, dude, wrestle and leave, fam. Like, Seth Rollins don't. Seth Rollins be Cody Lopez. Fuck Seth Rollins.
Right.
Kobe Lopez is all about his wife, his daughter, and wrestling.
Yeah. But
wrestling don't mean kicking it with y'all niggas.
Yeah.
Wrestling means, all right, man, I'm about to go back to my school. Seth Rollins, remember all that shit I was talking about that Roman Reigns should be talking to Cody about being? Seth Rollins is the dusty kid that Cody don't like. I think Cody and Roman are good. Yeah. Cody, Seth is the dusty kid that was throwing to Cody's face, yo, daddy like me better than he like you.
Yeah, no, for sure.
That's Kobe Lopez, fam. Kobe Lopez and Cody Runnels don't like each other.
That's true.
That shit y'all saw last night, that shit's for wrestling.
Yeah.
When the match is over, they get into both of their interracial relationships and they move the fuck on. Well, I'm tired. The match is over. I ain't talk to you on Monday, Jack. That's why, hey, Seth Rollins saw CM Punk and he wanted to make sure CM Punk know, fuck you, fam. I don't like you. I don't like the floor you stand on. I don't like anything about you. My wife will beat your ass. I'll beat your ass. I don't give a fuck that they brought you in this company. I'll still whoop your ass.
Yeah.
But Seth Rollins also said, "All right, what the storyline gonna look like?"
What's
it gonna look like? Because we got a lot of money to be made here, fam. Do you know how much money we're about to make? We're about to make a whole lot of money. So take all that I said. Take all that I said to you. Know that I said it to you. Know that I meant it. But I'm also looking at this like, yo, we got money to be made, fam.
For sure.
Let's go. Let's go.
No, you're definitely not wrong. I think, and I salute Seth for not liking no fucking body. Because you know what? Hey, look. Here's the thing. Here is the thing about Seth Rollins. Because he walks the walk that Punk thought he could talk. He was like, wait, I really got here because I'm really the illest dude out here. My daddy ain't no legend. I didn't take over the indies and they gave me a shot early in my career. No, I really had to work to get here. I'm better than all of y'all. So it is fuck all of y'all because you're not better than me. Now, because I did read, I think, on Cody's return, that, you know, Cody and Seth got into a real fist fight and Cody won. And I was like, salute to Cody, because I would have been mad for you if you got your ass whooped backstage and we never heard about Dusty getting tried like that. So I salute it. But my thing with the CM Punk thing, I do think there's something extra to it. Cody and Seth may not like each other, but I think that's just like, hey, yo, So maybe you are pretty decent, even if your pops is like, you know what I'm saying, one of the greatest to ever do it. Maybe I just had you pegged wrong. But I, whoa, pause. But I know for a fact that this Phil dude, nah, fuck him though. I've been better than him since I was 14. I don't want to hear shit from him. But I do, hey, but again, because he's a Triple H guy, he's going to do business, he's going to get money. But I don't think this feud is going to like be one of the story ones, because the CM Punk Cody one ain't, I mean, the Seth Cody one ain't over. I think he going one and done this, try to end this at Fastlane and say, like, I don't know. I could be wrong. But because I think there's some other people that probably need the CM Punk rub, so to speak, to even maybe get on that Mania card. Because I think it's looking grim for a couple people out there that was even in that match last night.
Oh, I think CM Punk has to talk to a lot of people, right? Mm-hmm. Just because you had a conversation with Triple H, that don't mean everything is cool because Triple H is cool with it. Mm-hmm. I think there's other people in the locker room that Seth Rollins, that CM Punk has to talk to. And I think CM Punk will, because in this business, from what I know in this business, especially since you're in close capacity with all of these folks, you know, you are going to have to holler at them in some way, shape, or form. Like, even when Hulk Hogan, you know, found that everybody found out about the racist shit, you know what I'm saying? He had to talk to a couple of the black wrestlers. Now, those black wrestlers was still like, man, fuck, dude. But he had to go have them conversations and shit, you know what I'm saying? Because also, you know, wrestling has been, go watch Dark Side of the Ring, fam. I think some wrestlers still think that, you know, if I don't go up in there and say hi to a nigga, nigga might poke me in the back while I'm talking to, like, Paul Orndorff Jr. or something. So Punk is going to do a lot of mea culpas to the people mm-hmm. that he thinks he needs to. He's already done it with The Miz. And I think The Miz was probably the one that needed to happen the most.
Yeah.
And when that happens, money needs to be made. Yeah. We gonna make it. And I
Miz still should have stole him, though, but go ahead.
I mean, yeah, he still should have. Like, look, matter of fact, thinking about that, yo, just fight. CM Punk, Seth Rollins, just fight. There's a wrestling ring, fam. Get in the ring. Mm-hmm. Goddamn. Shane, make sure it don't go too far. Fight.
Yeah.
Get it out the way. Get all of that out. And once the fight is over, no matter who takes the L, mm-hmm. now start discussing this storyline. Because it's money. Hey,
you know what? Let me show my wrestling age. Because some of this is just for the show. Hey, listen, man. If Adam Copeland and Matt Hardy can end up having a trilogy, anything in wrestling can happen. I'm kind of putting on for the show to give just another side.
But it's still true shit.
Yeah, right. But, you know what I'm saying? Like, if they can make that happen, because Matt Hardy thought he lost the love of his life. He was never going to get no more pussy.
Man.
And he wanted to kill Adam. That man called Bite This.
Yes.
We don't even talk about they ain't got Bite This on the network. They ain't got it on there.
All right, so we got things to do today, so we're going to go ahead and rapid fire some of these. So let's start with just talking about War Games in general. The men's match, how good was it seeing Randy Orton in a match again?
Man, great. Super great to see Randy Orton back. Glad he was back. He looked like a fucking animal, and he was out there. But he was on this performance, man. It was like he had never left, and to be his age and coming like that, super dope.
Man, shouts out to Randall Keith Batista, because Randy Orton ass out here, big as hell, pause. It was like he was moving slow and everything to be deliberate in his movement, but I was like, yo, I ain't never seen Randy Orton this size, pause.
Right.
So, you know, we got to get used to Randall Keith Batista out here.
Right.
Because, yo, That man looked like the large character that could do all of the large moves on WWE 2K.
Right.
He's a super heavyweight now. Going back to CM Punk real quick, if Rollins is not his first choice, Shinsuke Nakamura has been saying that he's been targeting somebody, and he ain't said who. So maybe since this happened so quick, it's not Shinsuke, but who would you like to see CM Punk go up against as his first feud back in the WWE?
Hey, listen, man, call me crazy, but the guy that left, Drew McIntyre. Mm. I think Drew McIntyre needs this more than anybody. Like, just keep it like on some real shit, even though it's supposed to set up as a squash match when you look at it. But the person that needs that moment more than anybody right now is definitely Drew McIntyre.
I'm going to go to SmackDown and say AJ Styles. Mm. We ain't heard hide nor hair of this man. He needs a major feud to come back. I would think that him versus CM Punk to kick this off would be amazing for both wrestlers. So, yeah, man, I would go with AJ Styles on this one. Let's go to the rest of the card here. The women's match to me was a bit similar as last year's match, for the exception of, you know, basically it being like the Kabuki Warriors, and Bayley versus, you know, the faces and the women. The heels lose, Bayley takes the pin. So do we see Bayley get her ass kicked by the Asians, you know, in the nail shop?
For sure. Damage control, as we know it, is over. Maybe damage control in general is over. But I think we called that last week. I still hope that one of my guarantees from last week is that Bayley flips on them before they got a chance to flip on her. I still hope that that's the thing, because I still do think damage control ends with Io versus Bayley for the women's title.
Yeah, that better happen. That's what I would think. Hey, she better jump on them before they do, because she took that pin and she got all the finishing moves while they watch. So we'll see what happens. All right, man, who can beat Rhea Ripley on Raw?
Nobody, because nobody's going to go on a run like this. It's a bittersweet thing, man, because you know what? You want to see challenges for the title and you see who they putting up there. But Rhea's been bodying this title reign. Like, for women, I know that Charlotte has the most and she's supposed to be the most dominant, but I've never seen a woman's title reign like this. So I don't see nobody.
I agree. We're going to move on. Has Santos Escobar arrived with his win against Dragon Lee? Last night, he defeated Dragon Lee. Dragon Lee replaced Carlito, in the match. Dragon Lee's been having some dope matches since his, you know, ascension to the main roster. He took that L last night to Santos Escobar. So, you know, has Santos Escobar, you know, arrived on the main roster?
Oh, man, I would love to say yes, but I can't because he beat Dragon Lee. Sorry, but to me, when you arrive, you gotta beat somebody that either nobody expects you to beat, or you just gotta level up so much that they'd be like, ooh, maybe we should talk titles. Nobody was talking about Santos competing for the U.S. title after that match last night, so he hasn't arrived yet.
Okay. I agree with you a bit. I think this was a good start.
Yes.
You know, I love that the theme music is back with a little bit of a twinge of difference. I love the poncho and everything. It wasn't even drug dealer vibes. It was just basically, I'm about to whoop somebody ass out here. You know what I'm saying? Because they think they slick out here trying to sun me, fam. Fuck that LWO shit. You know what I'm saying? Nigga. You know what I'm saying? We know the vibes, Santos.
We respect the vibe, too.
We respect the vibes. All right, man, the last thing before we get out of here, Gunther had a great match with The Miz. Definitely put that in my top three of Miz matches for him. But I got a hot take.
Okay.
I'm not afraid to say this hot take, ladies and gentlemen. Matter of fact, to me, it's not even a hot take. First off, y'all owe that man an apology. Y'all owe that man an apology. I remember getting on this internet, Al Gore's internet, and y'all was dogging the name change of Gunther.
That's a fact.
Y'all, it was a racist name. Not looking up, there's just as many Nazis that's named Walter as it is Gunther. Y'all was bringing that up. Y'all was calling Vince McMahon a racist for doing that and how Gunther was going to never be nothing on his main roster. And when he got the Intercontinental Championship, I said that y'all should apologize. Now I am demanding that y'all apologize to Gunther. Because right now, as it stands, there's two things I got to say about my man Gunther. One, Gunther is the best champion in the WWE right now. And as far as the main companies go, the major companies go, Gunther is the best champion out of all of the major companies in the WWE. His world championship is the Intercontinental Championship. He's made it mean something, and he has been dominant, which goes to my second take. Gunther is the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. And right now, I don't think that is close. Just look at all of the Intercontinental Champions. There's never been anybody that has been as dominant as him as an Intercontinental Champion. And also, let's look at the length of the reign. He's the longest running Intercontinental Champion of all time. Ladies and gentlemen, when the Honky Tonk Man won that championship, we didn't really give a fuck that the Honky Tonk Man was the Intercontinental Champion to begin with. And he kept the belt by going against measly opponents and winning slimy. You don't see Gunther winning the Intercontinental Championship or keeping it the way that Roman Reigns is keeping it by camp from the port. Your reasoning about why you've soured a bit on Roman Reigns' title reign is not that he's not defended the belt. It's how he keeps the belt. You don't really see Gunther doing the same thing to keep that belt because he's so dominant. Gunther is the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time, and he is the best champion in all of the major organizations right now, holding a mid-card championship.
Hey, hard to refute or dispute anything that you just said. I mean, yeah, I got him and Rhea one and 1A for sure. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, man, shout out to The Miz. Another great match for him. Losing to the Walls of Jericho, I thought that was kind of cool because, you know, they brought up that if The Miz won last night, he would be tied with the most title reigns ever. And then also The Miz has the most combined days. But obviously, Gunther about to shatter that. Again, like we said, first black champ told y'all first last week. I was like, yo, he beats The Miz. This literally does solidify him as being the greatest Intercontinental Champion of all time. So when we get to day 600, I don't know who can take the belt off of him. There are some more realistic options for him than it is Rhea. But co-sign to everything that Bang just said, and if y'all still have a problem with the name, I suggest you think about your life and how many racists that you know that are named John, Mike, and Steve.
Hey, man, look. Final thoughts real quick on CM Punk. And I think we should make this a segment on the show, Kemp. We take a minute and we cut a promo. Real simple. So I'm going to kick it off. I'm going to kick off the first segment of Cut a Promo. This is about CM Punk. At the end of the day, y'all, it's about making money. Wrestling is one of the few sports that I know that's combat that is still partners. You have to be a dance partner in the ring with the person that you are up against. All right, boxing, you're not a dance partner. You're trying to knock this dude head off. So if Seth Rollins want to take a little bit of liberties by giving CM Punk a gut shot, jaw to the face, while they're wrestling at WrestleMania, fine by me. But to me, you've already set the main event for night one at WrestleMania in Philadelphia. And that is Seth freaking Rollins versus CM Punk. Sign it right now like y'all did The Rock and John Cena. And let's go ahead and get them two on the road. Matter of fact, put CM Punk ass on SmackDown so he stays away from Seth freaking Rollins. All right? But make that happen. And let us as the fans enjoy the drama that's going to come out of that match. CM Punk, thank you for coming back. And Seth Rollins, thank you for your honesty. Because to me, you're always going to be like, fuck CM Punk. And I don't blame you. And
man, the world of wrestling is upside down to the point where there are no guarantees for me this week. But I do want to highlight something that maybe y'all not be too much aware of. So I'm going to talk directly to Triple H and salute him and thank him because I see the play. And the one thing that I think got protected last night more than anything other than business is L.A. Knight.
Yeah.
Because great job, Triple H. You stacked the show. Randy Orton returned. CM Punk returned in Chicago, but yet you left the hottest guy in your company off the roster. And for good reason. And for good reason, because the heat checks got to be real. The heat checks have got to be real because what if the year chance supersede the CM Punk chance? Maybe in Chicago in the beginning. Who knows? Who knows? Randy Orton already sort of expected to get overshadowed by CM Punk in Chicago, but you can't kill your rising star too. Randy Orton can deal with it. Randy Orton is stabled and labeled. Randy Orton is going to be Randy Orton because he already was before he got here. We just happy to see him alive, healthy, well, and doing cool-ass RKOs. LA Knight, though, different story. And I salute you, Triple H, for protecting him from everything that happened in Chicago last night, because you just made the meeting between CM Punk and LA Knight that much more special.
Mmm. I see where you going, my nigga. Well, look, man, I want to thank you all for joining us a little bit earlier for First Black Champ. We got a lot of things in store for 2024, man. So thank y'all. Appreciate y'all. And as always, I pass it on over to my man, Cam from the Port.
Because we appreciate y'all getting up with us this early. Man, maybe we on to something here. Maybe we need to do this, you know what I'm saying, at 8 o'clock hour. Who knows? But hey, everybody participating and engaging in the FBC community is greatly appreciated. We can't do it.
Shouts out to Kier. Shouts out to Kier.
Yeah, for sure.
He kicked it off for us last night.
Wait. Oh, yes. See? Hey, the FBC community looking out for each other, starting those threads because I was at work. So, man, respect. Thank you so much. And if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ podcast. Pick, VP, DOC, and we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.
Hey, he wasn't even that fan.
Yeah. Claymore Country for you, sir. Out of the building.